We're turning in our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, and we're going to take up the reading at the verse 15. Matthew 27, starting at the verse 15. Now at the feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. They had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For they knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I then do with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? They cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail anything, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water, washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person, see ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall, and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him, and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him, and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my raiment among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Amen. Ending at verse 37. And we know that God always follows with his blessing the reading of his own precious and infallible word. And you'll find the words of our text in verse 22. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Before we bring the Lord's message tonight, let us first of all seek his face in prayer. Let us all pray that God will bless his word, making a highway along which that word may run and be glorified in our meeting this evening. Let us then pray. Gracious God, we come to thy word just now, conscious of our inadequacy to handle the word of life. O God, in our weakness, come. We thank thee that thou hast promised that in weakness thou canst make strong. And Lord, we pray that thou would take even the weak things of the world tonight to confound the mighty. Yea, things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. And Lord, we pray we might see the mighty fallen, and that sinners will bend before the cross and trust Christ who died for their sins. Heavenly Father, give the help now of God the Holy Spirit. Pour out thy Spirit upon us and grant liberty in the preaching of the gospel, in the proclamation of thy word, and grant it might go along prepared ground and run and be glorified. For we ask it in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen. Many of the great truths of Scripture are presented to us in the form of a question. And tonight we have before us life's greatest question in the words of verse 22 of this chapter 27 of Matthew's Gospel. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What a tremendous and important question for all of us to face up to this evening. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? It is remarkable how on some occasions what we call a chance meeting, or even an obscure incident, or a very small event, can alter and can change a person's life forever. I'm sure that many of you can think back on an experience in your life when something similar, like a small event, or what you would have called a chance meeting, has made such a wonderful difference in regard to your life and your experience, and maybe even to the direction and the course that your life has taken since. The awe-inspiring door of destiny can open on a very tiny hinge. It's true in life. This is illustrated for us in the words of the opening verses of this chapter 27 of Matthew's Gospel. In verses 1 and 2 we read, when the morning was come. Nothing very strange about that. Morning follows night, and day after day morning always comes. When morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Now, no doubt, Pilate awoke that morning, just like any other day as he rose up from his bed. The sun, I'm sure, was shining as it usually did. And the routine of life, with all its petty problems, burdens, and even mundane decisions, lay before Pilate. And this was nothing unusual. It was a rather common day, a common morning in the experience of this governor of Judea. It was just seemingly another small segment of his life that he had to live out upon this earth. Not much different from any other that had preceded it. And yet, unknown to this Roman governor, God had decreed that this particular day was to be for Pilate a day of days, a very special day, a day of great importance, a day of momentous decision, because it was a decision that was going to carry with it everlasting consequences. My dear friends, tonight, it is no by chance that you're here, because in the very purpose of Almighty God, He has gathered us together for this service, that we might be brought face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have the decision to make that is most momentous and will carry with it everlasting consequences. Consequences not just for time, but for all of God's eternity. And the question before us is this: as it was on the lips of Pilate, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? My friend, that is the momentous decision you have to make. It is what you're going to do with Christ. How you're going to treat the Lord Jesus, with respect or disrespect. You're going to receive Him or reject Him. You're going to trust Him or you're going to go your own way. My dear friend, there lies before us in this service tonight a momentous decision, and with it carrying everlasting consequences. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? On that particular never-to-be-forgotten morning, Pilate, he occupied the throne of judgment as he had done many times before. But on this occasion, he found a very different prisoner before him, a very different person that he was to pronounce upon that day. He came to the courtroom, sat down on the judgment seat, and he found himself face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ, God's well-beloved and eternally begotten Son. What a momentous occasion it was. What a day it was for this man. And with troubled heart and a burdened soul, he utters life's greatest question: what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Here is a man at the crossroads of life. Here is a man facing a great decision, and it seems that with alarming swiftness, the pathway of life had brought Pilate to the crossroads of destiny. My dear friend, tonight, perhaps, for someone in this gathering, you've been brought to the crossroads of destiny, the crossroads of decision. My dear friend, what is it going to be in your life? What are you going to do with Christ? What are you going to say to Him tonight as you come face to face with the gospel, as you come face to face with the Son of God, as you come face to face with the Christ of Calvary, as you come face to face with the only Redeemer of men? What is it going to be? Is it going to be Christ or Barabbas? Is it going to be Christ or the world? Is it going to be Christ or your sin? Is it going to be Christ or pleasure? Is it going to be the Lord Jesus? Or is it going to be living for yourself and for your pleasure and for your own ambition? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? In his desperation, Pilate tried to rid himself of the responsibility. He told the Jews to judge Christ. But he received their reply. And their reply was that they had no power to judge him. And therefore, he was not able on this particular instance to shirk his responsibility. So he tried again. And this time he sent Christ to Herod, thinking that Herod would pronounce sentence. But Herod sent him back to Pilate. He couldn't evade the issue. There was no way round it. And every time it seemed to be pointing back to Pilate, that Pilate must decide. Then he sought to release Christ. But the crowd shouted the more, "We want Barabbas." With the result that the crowd chose Barabbas. And there seemed no way out for Pilate. No way round the situation. He has got to face up as to what he will do with Christ, with Jesus who is called Christ. Pilate had to make a personal decision. That personal decision was about the Christ of God. The verdict lay with him and with him alone. Adding importance to the occasion was the fact that his answer had to be immediate. It had to be that day. He couldn't procrastinate any longer. He had to give his decision. That was the importance of the occasion. He's face to face with Christ. He has a quandary in his mind what he'll do with Jesus called Christ. And his decision has to be immediate. My friends, tonight there is urgency about this decision. And tonight you've got to choose whom you'll serve. Will it be the Christ of God for yourself? You've got to make tonight an immediate decision. Oh, you might try to procrastinate. You might try to shirk your responsibility. You might try to pass it off to another time. But my friend, tonight, you'll make a decision. It will be a momentous decision. It will either be for Christ or against him. There'll be no neutrality. There'll be no sitting on the fence. Here's a man at the crossroads of life. It's decision time. He must go one way or the other. How many times we have traveled along the roadway and we have come to a crossroads and not being sure of the way ahead, we had to stop and think, which way do I go? And it's made even worse if that road is not signposted. Then our confusion is all the greater and our decision is even more momentous. Which way do I go? Do I go to the right or to the left? Do I go straight on or do I go back? I'm at the crossroads. It's decision time. Here is Pilate. And he must go one way or the other. There is no place for nor hope in neutrality. If he was to be neutral, there's no hope there. There's no place for such an attitude. Because the bloodthirsty mob of Jews outside those august halls of judgment, they demanded an immediate answer. And they wanted Barabbas immediately released. And they wanted Jesus Christ crucified. It's at such a time we can imagine. The Lord Jesus himself looked to Pilate for a verdict. He looked to Pilate to give his answer. He looked to Pilate to be decisive. Are you going to support me or be against me? Are you for me or against me? and the God of heaven awaited a decision from the governor regarding his son. My dear friend, tonight, there is a God in heaven. He looks down upon this gathering and he searches you out and he knows your heart. He sees where you sit and he knows all about you. And there's a God in heaven, friend, tonight, who's waiting for your verdict on his son. What you're going to do with Jesus tonight. God the Father's waiting on what you're going to do with his son. My friend, that's a very pertinent question. It is so important that you can't evade it. And you must give your answer here and now in the presence of God. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? With Pilate, it was now or never. Maybe for some in this meeting, it's now or never. We don't agree with scaring people into decision making and following Christ. But it is a fact of life that we're living in very uncertain days. And maybe for some in this meeting, it is now or never. We know not what shall be on the morrow. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for we know not what a day bringeth forth. We all know too well how that all ages are cut off suddenly by road accidents, by accidents at work, unexpectedly and suddenly cut off from this scene of time. And if you should happen to be one of them, tell me, where would you be in eternity? I read the story of a young man who was out with other young people. And this elderly lady, as they passed by, handed them a gospel tract. This young fellow took it, kindly enough, but he put it into his pocket. And he forgot about the tract. He went his way, enjoyed himself with others. And the very next day he went to work. And the place where he worked was quite a dangerous place. And one part of the day he was sent to this very dangerous area of the factory. And taking a step too far backwards, he fell down into a great driving shaft. And he was killed. And when they took him up and they searched his pockets, they found the gospel tract that the lady had given him the day before and was entitled, Your Last Chance. Little did that young fellow know that on that particular occasion he reached out the hand to receive from that elderly Christian lady a gospel tract. That was his last chance to get right with God for eternity. My friend, it was now or never for Pilate. I'm safe in saying it was his last chance. For what he was going to do with Christ on this particular day would seal his eternity, his destiny forever, one way or the other. My friends, tonight, perhaps it could be that there's someone here. And what you do with Christ, your verdict tonight on this great question, life's greatest question, will determine your eternity. Where you will spend or where you'll be in eternity. Friend, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? The result of that crucial judgment was well known in relation to Pilate. Pilate must release Christ or crucify him. He must stand by Christ or forever disown him. And we all know the result of Pilate's crucial judgment on that day. How he took a basin of water and a towel, and in order to salve his conscience, he washed his hands of the whole affair and called upon the people who were there to witness it. But oh my friend, water couldn't wash away his guilt. Water couldn't wash away his sin. My dear friends, those of you who may be depending on your baptism, on your upbringing, none of these things, the sacraments, the Lord's Supper or baptism, will never save your soul. Never bring you home at last to heaven. You must be born again. You must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. You must take Christ as your Savior, for there is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now in these days of Blairism, it's not politically correct to say that there's only one way to heaven. I was reading a periodical just a couple of weeks ago, and it told the story of a church in England that had a wayside pulpit. And on that wayside pulpit it had this poster displayed, Jesus is the only way. Nothing wrong with that. He is the only way. But residents in the area went to the authorities and complained. Those from an Islamic background complained. So much so that the authorities came to the elders of the church. And they called upon those elders to remove the poster, because it was offensive to people living in the neighbourhood. At first they refused. But then the authorities applied the pressure. And the elders bowed to that pressure, took down the poster, replaced it with another, in order to placate those residents in the area who had objected, because it said Jesus is the only way. My friend, the day is coming, and perhaps it is not too far hence, when it's going to be very difficult to preach the gospel as it is without incurring the wrath of the authorities of our nation, without coming to terms of the acceptance of persecution on that account. We have to be prepared for it, and we have to be ready, because those days will be coming very soon. Jesus, yes, is the only way. And if you miss Christ, you'll miss heaven. If you miss Christ, you'll miss the way of salvation. If you miss Christ, you'll miss pardon for sin. If you miss Christ, my friend, you'll miss the friend of sinners. Isn't that what they called him in Luke chapter 15? He is the friend of sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That was meant to be a criticism, but little did they know that they were speaking the truth about the Lord Jesus. And I'm glad he still receives sinners. I'm glad for the day that he received me. I was a boy of 14, just a teenager. The Lord opened my heart through the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Around the border district where I was brought up, the faith mission came and held mission after mission after mission. And we followed those missions right until about a space of 2.5 to 3 years. And during that period, the Lord opened my eyes, showed me my state, and brought me to himself, saved me and cleansed me from my sin. And I'm glad I recognized that Jesus was the only way. I thought because I was brought up in a sheltered home, that I had a good upbringing and a good mummy and daddy, I thought everything would be all right with me, but God awakened my soul. He awakened my heart. He struck me by His Spirit in my soul, and I began to feel the pangs of sin and conviction. It wasn't until I knelt at my bedside and cried to God, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." God heard my cry and saved me, brought me into His family, and I've been in it ever since. W.P. Nicholson used to say when he preached, "Salvation is like the soles of your feet, it wears well." And so it does. And while many a time we have failed our Savior, He has been faithful to us, and thank God He'll never fail, and He'll bring us at last home. "None that the Father giveth to me shall ever be lost," He said. "I have lost none that the Father giveth me, and I'm glad the Father give me to the Son. And I am His, and He is mine, and that for all of God's eternity." Yes, Pilate took the basin, he took the water, and he washed his hands before the crowd, and he called upon the people to witness that he was innocent. But it was all to no avail. No avail whatsoever. Even four times in the Scriptures does God record this solemn instance. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John record this solemn occasion when Pilate took the water, tried to excuse his sin, tried to exonerate himself, tried to pass the blame to others, and to claim his innocence. What a warning that is, a fourfold warning to you and to me not to follow suit. My friend, don't go down the road of Pilate. Don't make the same drastic mistake that he made. We're told that when Pilate had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. The final choice was now made. The die was cast. And that very day, Pilate set his face like a flint to tread that broad road that leads to hell and to destruction, that leads to everlasting damnation, that leads to outer darkness. Maybe like Pilate, you may be standing at the crossroads in your life. Every child of Adam, remember, is guilty, is a sinner. Having fallen in Adam's first transgression. But you must face up to the claims of Christ in your life. Remember, the Bible says God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. On Calvary's cross, the sinless Lamb of God, the sinless Christ became the sin bearer for all those who would trust in Him. Oh, my dear friend, we see Him there shedding His precious blood so that we might have pardon. He purchased that pardon by His death and by the shedding of His blood. He purchased forgiveness. And in the gospel which is freely offered to us tonight, we're told that by His stripes we're healed. Surely all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, but the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. In the New Testament we read, "As many as received Him, to them give He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Have you received Him? Have you believed on His name? Oh yes, this question tonight, life's greatest question, becomes very personal. What shall you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? No one else can make the decision for you. No one else can be saved for you. You can't be saved by proxy. Salvation is a solemn, personal matter between your immortal soul and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that being the case, friend, God demands an immediate answer. Some people object to preaching an instantaneous salvation. They maintain that you grow into it, and that eventually, through by doing the best you can, you'll come into possession of the righteousness of Christ. Friend, it's a lie from hell. Don't be deceived by it. We don't grow into salvation. We're born into God's family. I didn't grow into my family when I was born all those years ago. There was a day when I came into this world, when I breathed my first, when I cried my first cry, when my mother and father heard it, and they rejoiced that a son was born into the family. At least I hope they rejoiced. Friend, it's the same with Christ. Oh, we're born into God's family. We'll not grow into it or become good into it. My friend, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, a religious man, a good man, ye must be born again. How many good men are here tonight? How many good women are here tonight? Oh, moral upright, doing the very best you can, models in society. But my friend, I have to tell you, you must be born again. You must be washed in the Savior's blood. You must come as a guilty sinner as you are and where you are. Acknowledge that before the Lord. Bend your knee at Calvary and cry, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. You see, we're either saved or we're not saved. You're either bound for heaven or bound for hell. We're either in Christ or else we're without Christ. There is no neutral ground. We're either on the road to heaven or else we're on the pathway to hell. That's the teaching of the Bible. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Pilate sought to evade the stark reality of his position by washing his hands of the whole affair. It didn't avail, as I've said. An answer had to be given. And in effect, an answer was given. It is the same with each one of us in this meeting tonight. As these words are spoken again, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? A verdict on the Savior has to be given. If we attempt to defer it, or postpone it, or avoid it, then in reality, you're saying no to Christ. You're rejecting him. You're saying no to his claims. You're saying no to salvation. Pilate said no for the last time. This was deciding his destiny for all eternity. The destiny of your soul, my dear friend, does depend on your relationship with Jesus Christ. The destiny of your soul, my friend, is important. I repeat the great question, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? The answer determines what Jesus one day will do with you. Remember that? In Matthew chapter 25, if the Lord Jesus speaking about the sheep on his right hand side and the goats on his left hand side. And the decision tonight could very well determine what Jesus says on that day, because he says to the sheep on the right hand side, come thou blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. To the goats on the left-hand side he said, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. And my friend, I repeat again, the answer to this question determines what Jesus one day will do with you. Whether it will be, hear him say, come ye blessed, or depart ye cursed. Friend, what is it going to be? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Is Christ your personal Savior tonight? If not, then I plead with you. I urge you with all the energy the Holy Spirit can bestow upon me. I plead with you to bow your head in the presence of God and to acknowledge that you're a sinner and to appeal to God for mercy and to save your precious soul. He'll do it. He has promised in his word that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And friend, if you come tonight, he will not cast you away. I close with the words of the prophet Isaiah. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, unto our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Thank God for that glorious invitation. Will you seek him now? Will you call now? Will you accept his pardon, receive his mercy, and enter into his family to become his child now and forevermore? May God help you to come. We'll bow together in a word of prayer. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of thy grace, that grace which we don't deserve. It is unmerited and yet bestowed so richly upon sinners like ourselves. And our Father, tonight we pray that such grace will be poured out and bestowed upon men and women and young people and children in this house of thine this evening. And grant it to be great rejoicing amongst the angels of heaven over new names going down into the Lamb's Book of Life. O God, our Father, bless thy word and make it a saving word, and glorify the man of Calvary, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.